Our Old Testament text, Leviticus 19, beginning at verse 11. Hear the word of God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Then let's turn, please, to the New Testament, James chapter 4. Our text this morning is just two verses, James 4, 11 and 12. Again, the word of God. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? The word of our God. Please be seated. The title of the message this morning is Speaking Evil of a Brother. Our text for exposition and application will be the New Testament text from the book of James. Consider the opening words. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. If there is one command that is violated in our political discourse today, this is it. Name-calling, ascriptions of evil motives, and outright lying are commonplace. Whereas there was a modicum of civility a couple generations ago when politeness ruled, and politicians on opposite sides of the aisle nonetheless referred to each other as my esteemed colleague, now inflammatory speech is the rule. Racist, homophobe, transphobe. Public figures are pilloried for stupid things they did decades ago and have long since repudiated. But notice, James is speaking to brethren. This is a common New Testament term for fellow believers. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He speaks of to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ when he addresses one of his epistles. He says, peace be to the brethren. This is a common term then for fellow Christians. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that we who belong to Christ, we who believe in him, are members of the household of faith. We have spiritual fathers, we have spiritual brethren. So when James says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren, he's speaking to the church. Now we expect the wicked to act like the wicked. Toxic political speech rules in the Twitterverse. But when it spills into the church, when brethren speak evil of one another, when brethren speak evil of another brother, That is a grave problem. When the Holy Spirit brings lost sinners to Christ, He gives them a new heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The newly converted person has a new nature, a new spiritual appetite. Whereas before, he ran from God. Now, Christ and His Word are exceedingly precious to him. He says with Job, "I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." The new convert begins to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is now part of the family of God, and he begins to show the family likeness in his character. Eventually, he learns that God's goal for him is that Christ be formed in him. Galatians 4:19. That he be fully conformed to the perfect image of the Savior, the Lord of glory. Christian, never compare yourself to someone else. Never think, "Well, I'm doing better than that guy down at the other end of the pew." If you and I compare ourselves to Christ, we will see how much we fall short of His perfections. But if we keep our eyes on Him, we will remember the goal that the Holy Spirit has set for us, that we be fully conformed to Him. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ would never speak evil of His brethren. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He would never turn around and stab us in the back. He would never turn against us. Oh, dear child of God, never forget that when we speak evil of a fellow believer, we are not being Christ-like. Rather, we are deliberately seeking to destroy a person whom Christ has redeemed. Our Old Testament text this morning commands, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people." Leviticus 19:16. This is in a section detailing fifth commandment duties, which was just read in your hearing. The Hebrew word translated talebearer means slanderer. Brothers and sisters, when we slander a fellow believer, we are doing the devil's work. The word devil, in the Greek it's diabolos, means slanderer. The devil of hell is the believer's arch enemy. He is called the accuser of the brethren. By the way, there's another place where Christians are called brethren. The accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. Oh, dear saint of God, do not go about as a slanderer of God's people. Do not tell untruths about a Christian brother or sister, seeking to put him or her in an unfavorable light. If you do that, you are doing the devil's work. The devil is a powerful foe. He is the prince of darkness, and he has a lot of demons at his beck and call. He doesn't need help from you and me to accomplish his purpose. Remember that the devil was judged by Christ at the cross. His time is short. One day, and it may not be long, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit along with all those who are enemies of Christ. To do the devil's work is to become Christ's enemy. And to be Christ's enemy is ultimately to receive his condemnation. Political enemies slander one another all the time. Yesterday in the news, there was the story of two members of Congress who got into a very public spat. A Jewish Republican accused a Muslim Democrat of anti-Semitism, and she, in turn, accused him of Islamophobia. Obviously, such terms are very inflammatory, impugning the very worst and imputing the very worst motives to a political opponent. But we don't have to resort to name-calling to speak evil of a brother or sister. Circulating false reports, starting rumors, magnifying a rival's failings and weaknesses, and failing to recognize his good points are other examples of evil speaking. We're familiar with public relations firms putting spin on a press release, making their clients' side look better and the opposition's worse. One aspect of spin is to emphasize certain points and minimize or altogether omit others. It is not only what is said, but what is not said. Innuendo. Focusing on an enemy's faults while ignoring his good points. Pat Buchanan once observed that the essence of press power lies in the authority to select, elevate, and promote one set of ideas, issues, and personalities, and to ignore others. Now that there are alternative news sources, the power of the mainstream press is not as strong as it once was. A discerning person can ferret out opposing points of view. But since many people are not as vigilant as they should be, the mainstream narrative often goes unchallenged. Christ's disciples are always to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. So James tells us, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. The word for speak evil is katalalita. It literally means speak against. It is to pit oneself against a brother or sister in Christ. It is to forget that we who belong to Christ have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We who formerly were enemies have been subdued by grace. We are now part of God's team. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ are now my brothers and sisters. Let me say that again. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, of course, love him in the biblical sense of the word, no matter what their denominational affiliation, what their race, what their background, what their ideas about church government may be, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ are my brothers and sisters, and they're yours as well. Together, we are a family. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark 3:25. The prince of darkness tries to sow division. He who sows discord among brethren tempts us to use the power of our tongue to speak against those for whom Christ died. This is a very dangerous course. As Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Romans 8:31 and following. A person who speaks against a Christian brother or sister sets himself in opposition to Christ. This does not mean that we are not to show a brother his faults. Our Lord Jesus said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Matthew 18:15. We saw that as well in our Old Testament scripture this morning. Let me just go back there and see if I can find it. Leviticus chapter 19. It says in verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. So there's a place for telling our brother and sister, brother, sister, I love you very much, and I see the direction your life is going. I see there's problems ahead for you, and I urge you to submit your life to Christ. If a fellow believer is overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, then we who are spiritual are to restore that person in the spirit of meekness. But the difference is one of intent. To speak evil of a brother is to purpose to destroy him. To go to him privately to show him his fault is to purpose to help him. We are members of one another. We need one another. No Christian is unnecessary. If a brother or sister is destroyed, the body is weakened. A loving husband does not want good health only for himself and not for his wife. He wants his wife to have good health too. A wife's health is a great gift to a husband. So it is in the church. It is very desirable that every member of Christ be in good spiritual health. We can, we must lovingly show a brother his fault for the purpose of improving him, but we must not speak evil of that brother to his spiritual detriment. Basically, the biblical principle is if you have a fault with a brother, you go to him privately, you go to him personally, you don't take it to a third party. You don't spread it before the whole church. You go to him privately. Our purpose is not to destroy a brother or sister in Christ, but to present him or her perfect in Christ. So we who belong to Christ are not to speak evil of one another. James goes on to give an explanation. He says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. The law that James is speaking of is clearly the law of God. He's not talking about man's law here. I need to make that clear because to some people, the law means man's law. You get stopped by a lawman, by a policeman, and he represents the law. He's representing man's law. But what James is speaking of here is the law of God. So in what sense does the act of speaking evil against a brother or sister become speaking against the law? No Christian in his right mind would say, I hate the Bible. I hate the law of God. May it be damned. We would never say that. But to speak against a brother, James is saying, is putting oneself, that is one's own determination, one's own will, above the law word of the living God. Gill explains, by passing sentence upon his brother, he takes upon him the province of the law, which is to accuse, charge, convince, pronounce guilty, and condemn. End quote. Is my brother sinning? Is he living in disobedience to God? Then let God's law word condemn him, not my own opinion. Let me go to him and show him his fault according to the word of God. But let me never speak evil against a brother or sister in Christ. The Apostle Paul also warns against evil speaking. He says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here, the word for evil speaking is a different word. It's the word that comes into our English as blasphemy. To blaspheme is to curse or revile, particularly to curse or revile the living God. But Paul does not limit this evil speaking to God, for in the next verse he goes on to say, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. There's a familiar rhythm that we can detect in the Apostle Paul, that rhythm that he seems to return to from time to time. Don't do that. but do this. Don't do that, but do this. What he's saying here is, let evil speaking and malice be put away from you, but rather be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. These are graces that are to rule in the Christian. He must never speak evil against another member of the body of Christ, but rather be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, even as he himself has been forgiven. Here in a nutshell is the gospel. We were formerly prone to all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. But Christ saved us. Through his mighty work on the cross, he defeated the devil and brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and into his own spiritual kingdom. He subdued our hearts and brought us under his benign sovereign lordship. By his Spirit, he empowered us to live for him, giving us the power to live Christ-honoring lives marked by kindness, love for enemies, and courtesy, even in the midst of disagreements and outright hostility. Brothers and sisters, we are not to react as those in the flesh, but as those transformed by the blessed Spirit of God. James warns us that we're not to judge our brother. What he means is that we are not to judge our brother out of our own sensibilities, but always according to the Word of God. As our Lord himself said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment, John 7:24. Our own judgment is fallible and untrustworthy. The Word of God is infallible and trustworthy, fully trustworthy. As Christ's disciples, we are to learn to think our thoughts after him. We are to meditate upon God's law day and night and always endeavor to bring our every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are not to judge our brother based upon the changing fashions and opinions and whims of man, but based upon the sure and reliable Word of God. As we well know, the opinions of man are changeable. They're always changing. As a presidential candidate in 2008, Barack Obama visited the Saddleback Church in Orange County, California. Pastor Rick Warren asked him to define marriage. Here were his words: I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Mr. Obama said those words. For me as a Christian, he said, it is also a sacred union. As we all know, several years later, he came out in favor of same-sex marriage. The question for the Christian is, who defines marriage, man or God? Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke definitively on the issue when he said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Matthew 19:4-5. As Christians, our opinions on marriage or on any other subject must be solidly based on God's infallible law word. But James goes on in our text to say, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Here is the crux of the matter. There is one lawgiver who has in his hand the power to save, that is, to take men and women to heaven by his matchless grace. And he has in his hand the power to destroy, that is, to cast into the lake of fire, to be judged with the devil and his angels for all eternity. as the prophet Isaiah so clearly declared, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Isaiah 33:22. The one of whom he makes this sweeping declaration is the Lord, God Almighty, Yahweh. He is that one lawgiver, the only one who has sovereign power to declare eternally what is right and what is wrong. This text requires all followers of Christ to recognize and practice that eternal truth. God is the lawgiver. And as a Christian, I am duty-bound to accept and live always according to his law. So, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. And yet, I hear Christians disfellowshipping one another and declaring their brethren to have no part in Christ for disagreeing with them on petty issues. Exclusive psalmody, the use of musical instruments in worship, styles of dress, fine theological points, things indifferent. There are a lot of things that are commanded one way or the other. But then there are things indifferent. I wore a blue striped shirt this morning. My brother back there wore a tan sweater. That's a thing indifferent. God doesn't tell us you can wear this color, you can't wear that color. That's a thing indifferent. But oftentimes we hear Christians parting from other Christians based on petty issues. We shouldn't be doing that. Brothers and sisters, God is the lawgiver. When his word speaks, we are duty-bound to accept it and live according to it. When his word is silent or even unclear, then we must give the judgment of charity to all who confess Christ. We ought to give them the judgment and the freedom to live according to their own conscience. My brothers, don't speak evil of one another. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do recognize that even as James has told us in an earlier text, we're so often quick to hear and, I'm sorry, we're quick to speak and slow. We should be quick to speak, slow to wrath. But Lord, sometimes we get that all mixed up. And we're quick to speak. And sometimes, Lord, we speak words that are hurtful words to another person. Lord, help us not to be like the wicked. We expect them to resort to name-calling, to speak malicious things one to another. But Lord, in the church, there's supposed to be love. There's supposed to be charity. There's supposed to be tolerance and acceptance. Lord, we are all in the same state. We are all sinners. None of us have arrived. We've not already attained. We've not already become perfect. Yet, Lord, we know that you are the lawgiver. Your word is true. Whatever you say on any particular subject is the absolute truth. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us charity as we seek to get along with other members of God's forever family here on earth. Help us, Lord, not to speak evil against a brother. Set a watch before our mouths. Guard the door of our lips. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to say those things that are kind, compassionate, tender-hearted, charitable. Help us, Lord, in all things to show the demeanor and character of him who gave his life for us. The one of whom Paul said he labored until Christ be formed in us. Help us, Lord, to speak as disciples of Christ. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.